Welcome back to our program. You may have heard on NL last week, a wildlife advocacy group is going to the BC Supreme Court to fight the way the BC government allows conservation officers to kill black bear cubs. Leslie Fox is the executive director for the Association for the Protection of Fur-Bearing Animals and joins us on the telephone. Good morning.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me on your show.
Now, a lawsuit might be a bit of an exaggeration, but this legal action is intended to be something of a broad brush challenge. But it basically stems from one incident. Maybe you could explain.
Sure. So last May, there's a lot of details, but to keep it brief, is in Dawson Creek, a woman found an orphaned black bear cub, very young, just a few weeks, maybe a couple months old. The cub didn't look well and was very vulnerable at the time. So she brought the cub home, put him in a dog pen outside, called the conservation officer for help. There was a rehab center, a wildlife rehab center that was available and was ready to take the animal. The officer came and killed the cub.
So based on that, obviously you thought that was an inappropriate course of action. You're seeking not necessarily legal action, but a judicial review. What will that accomplish?
That's right. So what we're looking for is for the judge to essentially remind the conservation officers and overall service about Section 79 of the Wildlife Act. And I think this is where a lot of confusion comes in, and I think it's something that is discussed widely in public, is conservation officers, the name is a little bit of a misnomer, and in that conservation officers, their first job is public safety, not to protect animals. And I think oftentimes that gets confused. So when there's not a public safety issue, the question arises, under what authority does a conservation officer have then to kill an animal?
I gather the action suggests that conservation officers often kill bears that don't pose a threat and might, in fact, be candidates for rehabilitation and eventual return to the wild. What's the basis for that position?
Well, I think what we're looking for is, and I think most of your listeners would agree, if an animal is a candidate for a second chance, they deserve that second chance. And there's wildlife rehabbers available all across Canada. I'm not sure who is in your area, but here in BC, there are three wildlife rehab centers that are able to care for bears, and they do, and very successfully, these animals are released in the wild. So conservation officers are required to sort of hand off those animals to rehab, and rehabbers get their permit from the Ministry of the Environment. So there's some cooperation, I think, that's needed between those two parties. And again, if the animal poses no safety threat, I think animals should be given that opportunity.
The cub in question that precipitated all of this, we're told, was basically the size of a cat. So obviously it didn't pose any threat to humans at the time. But the conservation officer, we're told by phone, suggested that this would have to be put down.
That's right. And so a lot of questions arise. And again, it's a very detailed case. And so to explain it over the phone, we'll be here for hours. one of the main facts of the case that is very concerning is before even seeing the cub, the conservation officer phoned to say he's coming to kill it. And I think that is extremely concerning. I think animals should be evaluated properly, and to do that, you probably should see the animal in person. Also, officers use terms that I believe are sometimes not substantiated when an animal, or after rather, an animal is destroyed. So for example, after an animal is destroyed, you might hear words like the animal was in distress, the animal was food conditioned, the animal was unresponsive, garbage habituated. We hear all this language, but I'm not convinced that those are necessarily measurable terms. And I think that's really important. And at the end of the day, what we're looking for is a demonstration, both in action, in language, in written words and reports, that everything was done possible to exhaust all non-lethal options, and death should only be the last resort.
Conservation officers always tell us that killing an animal for them is a last resort, either because it's become, as you mentioned, habituated or is unlikely to survive on its own in the wild. And in this case, presumably they didn't feel that even if you could rehabilitate and nurse this orphan cub back to health, that it probably wouldn't, you know, probably become prey for other wildlife or perhaps might starve to death in the wild.
And I would argue, I understand that concern. I would argue that it's not the officer's responsibility to make that decision and that they don't have the expertise to make that decision. They're law enforcement officers. They're in charge of public safety. If there's no public safety threat, it's very concerning to me that they involve themselves in these cases. I think animals are best assessed by a trained veterinarian who's experienced in wildlife, by wildlife rehabbers who have been in the profession. Many of them, especially the ones who work on bears, have been doing this for decades. So they know firsthand whether or not, you know, an animal will be a candidate, and let them make the decision if euthanasia is appropriate. And again, I think having that sort of independent third-party evaluation that's experienced and educated, I think that our wildlife would be much better off.
This judicial review request is, of course, based on this bear cub, but we have other conflicts with humans and black bears all the time. Do you believe there are non-lethal ways to deal with those conflicts other than putting the bear away?
Oh, 100%. And I think, again, we haven't exhausted, or at least I haven't really seen it, a full spectrum of exhausting all those non-lethal options. And part of the reason isn't necessarily the CO's fault. I think that many people would agree our conservation service is woefully understaffed. It's underfunded. It makes response times difficult, and there's a lot of stress on our officers. So I do sympathize, and I know that the service has been struggling for years. That said, there are many ways that we can coexist with wildlife. It starts with people. So all of your listeners out there, and you know, we need to do a better job of cleaning up our garbage, pick up fallen fruit, don't leave pet food outside, wash all your recyclables, don't feed animals. Feeding is a huge problem. When we go camping or we're out exploring the wilderness, again, don't leave food behind, not feeding animals, or trying to get up close to animals to take selfies is another problem we're seeing more of. So I think basic education is hands down number one, but we know education doesn't work unless it's enforced. And so I think we could do a better job both with our bylaw officers and municipalities and also with the COs and handing out tickets. I think people should be fined. You know, particularly when a large animal is involved, like a bear, if people aren't getting the message, we need to send a stronger message, and fines are important. After that, there's various hazing techniques, and hazing is just sort of a way of discouraging an animal. So, for example, COs have access to rubber bullets. So creating sort of a negative response when an animal gets too close, and that's a way of helping to sort of keep a safe proximity there. And in many cases, those techniques do work, but I am a realist, and I understand that sometimes, you know, despite the best efforts, sometimes animals aren't, appropriate to have in near people, and sometimes we have to make those hard decisions.
As a final point, there will be those out there who say that your urban-based group is caught up in the cuteness of a wild animal, but unfamiliar with the realities. What do you say? What do you say to that?
And, and sometimes we are. I mean, and I think anybody, whether rural or living in the city, when you saw the front page the other day of that bear cub, it's, I think everyone agrees they're pretty cute. But despite cuteness, certainly our reasoning and logic goes far beyond that, and our organization is supported by science and professionals, including biologists and veterinarians and naturalists, and I think it's important to have our actions and our efforts sort of rooted again in science. But animals are cute, no doubt.
We'll see how this plays out. Leslie Fox is the executive director for the Association for the Protection of Fur-Bearing Animals. Really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks a lot, Jim.